Yeah, so we are in Romans chapter 8, and we've been looking at some of the blessings and the victories that God has given us as His sons. And yesterday, the last time we met, we were able to see how we are God's children, and we've been able to see that God has adopted us as His own children. And the reason why we are adopted is because we have been given His Spirit. Now you see, when God brings us to life as His children, He gives us His Spirit. The Bible says we are begotten of that incorruptible Word, of that divine seed, you know, which is the Word of God. So the Word of God that is preached to us births faith in us, and it's the one that when we accept that word and we are begotten of that word, that incorruptible word, then we receive the impartation of God's Spirit, and by which He adopts us as His children. So the adoption as sons, and we're able to see, is that, you know, in the Roman time, when a child was adopted, he was given full responsibilities and full rights, and had every equal right as a child born in that home. So likewise, when we are adopted of God as sons, we receive each and every right to call Him Father. We call Him that word of intimacy, Abba, Father. And not only that, we are also His children. We are also His heirs. And since we are His heirs, we are also heirs together with Christ of God's glory. And that's what I kept saying, that as long as you read the word, whenever you see the blessings that are of Christ, put yourself in it. Why? Because the Bible tells us that your life is now hidden in Christ, and Christ is in God. So every blessing, every glory, every authority, every grace that is poured out on Christ, every honor, every wealth, every power, every rulership, every name that is given to Him, that name is given to us too. We are heirs together with Christ of God's glory. And then there's that verse that says, but if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering, or rather, if we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together with Him. So this is the part that where we'll be picking it from there today, and where we'll look at the aspect of, yes, we are receiving the glory of God. Yes, we are enjoying the glory of being sons of God, of being children of God, of the favor of God. We walk in this earth with the authority of God, with the power of God, with the, with the wisdom of God. The Bible tells us that we have the mind of Christ. Christ has become our wisdom. He has also become our power. So Christ becomes two things for us. He gives us wisdom. He also gives us the power and the authority and that influence to make a difference in this world. But what we see is that whenever the word comes, what accompanies the word is attestation, or of suffering, or a temptation. And remember, if you remember the parable of the sower, it says that when persecution comes because of the word, that means that there's a suffering that comes to us because of the word that we have received. You know, many times whenever someone receives a prophetic word or receives a word of the from the Lord, maybe from the sermon, and they're like, yes, that's my word. You know, we are excited, we receive the word, we receive the blessing of the Lord. We are like, yes, we are moving forward. Yes, we are taking off in 2025. We are taking off. You know, we are mounting up with wings as eagles. You know, we are going to the next level. We are growing. And then what the Bible tells us, persecution comes because of that word. There's a suffering that comes. There's a testation that comes to check whether that word is really grounded in your heart, because the Bible says those who have weak, shallow roots, or grounds that are not deep enough, you know, the birds of the air come, or when the crop sprouts up, it dies off. But you see, when we have good soil, that word takes root. The cares and worries of this world cannot choke that word. But you see, when the word of God is planted in our hearts, that shaking comes. That shaking comes. You know, the man that built his house on the rock and the other one on the sand. And when the wind came and blew against the house, the one who built his house on the rock, it stood. But the one who built his house on the sand crashed. And that's why God tells us, let each man be careful how they build. So each time we receive the word, each time we are receiving this blessing of knowing that we are sons of God, knowing that we are loved of God, knowing that God, you know, has promised us all this glory, you know, do we rejoice it as we receive in it? As the Bible tells us, inwardly we are fading away, but outwardly we are fading away, but inwardly we are being renewed to in our man. When he tells the Corinthian church that this light and momentary troubles that you're facing are working out in you a far eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Do we recognize that the sufferings that we go through are actually a preparation for the glory that we are to receive? That means that glory is tied to suffering. And we are given the example of Christ. And that's why the Bible tells us if we are to share in his suffering. You know, how do we share in his suffering? We share in his suffering by contending for the faith. There is that inner struggle. In fact, man usually has enemies. The enemy of man is, one is sin. Sin is an enemy of man. Number two is the sinful nature within the man himself. Then, of course, there's the enemy of the world and its system around it. The world is geared to make us fall. That is an enemy of the world. Then, of course, then we have the demonic world. We have the demons. We have the devil and his demons and his all that. They are also enemies of man, in that as long as you are a child of God, you have entered into a warfare. Whether you know it or you don't know it, you're going to fight against sin, or against, you're also going to struggle against and fight against your flesh. You're also going to fight against the systems of this world, and then that are in opposition to God. And then you're also going to fight against the devil and his enemies. But you see, in all these aspects, as we've been looking at salvation, God has granted us the victory. He has granted us the victory over sin. He defeated sin once and for all. He has granted us the victory over sinful nature by giving us the Spirit. We are no longer controlled by sinful nature, but we are controlled by the Spirit of God. He has given us victory over the systems of the world. He told his disciples, be of good cheer, for I have overcome this world. In this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome this world. And he has also defeated the devil, because he said he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them over the cross, at the cross. So when we look at what God is saying, is that man has these four enemies, but you see, God has already given man the victory. The believer, the new creation, is given the tools, is given the weapons to overcome all these enemies of man. Now, the reason why we are not living victorious against these enemies of man is because of our ignorance. If we don't know, if we are ignorant, then we suffer the price of the ignorant. I mean, if you go to a, if you are caught by a policeman today and you don't know the rules, you're really going to pay a heavy fine for something that you should not pay for. Why? Because he takes advantage of your ignorance. And this is what the devil does. He will take advantage of your ignorance. But when you know your rights, when you know your power, when you know the righteousness that is accorded to you, not of your own works, not of your own doing, but of Christ, when you know that is what, it is Christ that has worked it for you, all you do is to receive it. And as I said, the balance is that now, he also said, it's, should we continue sinning? No, it's not that. You're given a new nature. You're given the nature of Christ. You're given the Spirit who now controls your nature, who has broken the power, the domination of sinful nature over us. So now when we suffer, the Bible tells us that when you suffer, it should be for righteousness' sake, not because of evil. So that's why you have to distinguish between the suffering that we're talking about is not the suffering because we stole something and then now we'll be like, oh yeah, why am I suffering? No, but the suffering that is being talked about is that suffering that God brings, that testation that God brings, or that God allows to come our way, That is to make us, to build us, to reveal that glory. Anyone who has gone through a tough time, anyone who has gone through, you know, a difficult moment, knows that at the end of that difficult moment, that suffering brought glory. And you see, that's what God looks at the end. He looks at the joy that he has set before you, and he allows us to pass through. He allows us to pass through. We don't stay in the place of suffering, but we pass through. When we pass through the waters, when we pass through, you know, the troubles, God allows us to pass through. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't stay there. We walk through. When we are walking through, when we are passing through, God knows that he's able to help us get through them. But what the Bible is telling us, that there is a groaning, you know, there is a suffering that our bodies go through, but also there's also a suffering that the earth is going through. And this is what we are reading. So Romans chapter 8 from verse 18, it says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later, or rather which is being revealed in us. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children are. Or rather, creation is eagerly awaiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. If you look at King James. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. We long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We are given this hope when we are saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But we look forward to something we don't yet have. We must wait for it patiently and confidently. Now let me first pause there. What is the scripture telling us? The scripture is telling us that, you know what, because of sin, the curse of sin resulted in also the creation being subjected to the curse. And this is what we call the bondage of corruption. And if you look at the scriptures, you will see that, you know, in the Garden of Eden, all the animals were at peace. They all ate grass. The lions ate grass. All these creatures. Why? Because when you see in the restoration of the garden, the lion and the lamb shall both eat grass. That means from the onset, they both ate grass. So, you know, the child shall play with the cobra and all this. So that tells us that in the beginning, the creation in itself was made perfect, in that they were under freedom. They were free, just like the sons of God were free, just like Adam was free to partake of everything. Creation too was in freedom. But you see, when man sinned, creation too was subjected to the bondage of corruption, to death and decay. And that is why someone will ask, but why is there suffering on the earth? Yes, because the creation was subjected to God's curse. Oh, why is there earthquakes? Why is there monsoon? Why is there flooding? Why is there, you know, all these heat waves and all these things? Because creation is subjected to God's curse. Why? Because of the sin of man, creation was subjected to the bondage of corruption. And the Bible tells us that creation has been groaning. So what we see around us, what we see are the struggles of nature, is because creation is groaning as in the pains of childbirth. And when it says childbirth, you can think of how childbirth increases, the pains increases until the last moment. And this is what we also saw in our eschatological study of the end times, that as the pains, as the time gets nearer, these challenges will keep increasing. We'll see an increase in wars, we'll see an increase in fires, in earthquakes, in flooding, in monsoons, in typhoons, in all these cyclones and all this. There will be an increase. Stars will fall from the sky, you know, the earth will open up in certain places, you know, volcanoes and all these things will happen because it is increase in child birth pains. But you see, we are being told that even as creation is groaning, we too are believers. We too that are believers. We too that have the Spirit of God inwardly are groaning. How are we groaning? We are groaning for the day when we shall receive this new creation body. Yes, right now we have received the Holy Spirit. He is given to us as a foretaste of the future glory to come. Remember when the Bible tells us those who have tasted of the powers of the age to come. We spoke about that world to come. There is that new age that will come after this world passes away. And we are given ideas. We are just given a foretaste. The Holy Spirit is just a taste. Just you're just given like an appetizer of the good things that are to come. And the Bible tells us when that time, when our bodies will be released from this bondage, from this sin and suffering. So while we are on this earth, when you find you're having this headache that is not going away or this medical condition that is not going away, be reminded that this is the earthly body, but there is a heavenly body. There is a hope that we have been promised that you see. The time is come when we're going to receive this resurrected body, this celestial body, when immortality shall be swallowed up with immortality, when we shall have the full realization, the full revelation, the full manifestation of the sons of God. You see, the challenge with us is many times we look at ourselves, oh, I'm just a man. Oh, I am just a man. Oh, you know, these are the weaknesses of men. Why do we focus so much on the earthly when God has told us that we are born from above? We are born again. We are born. The heavenly man is the one that lives in us, is the one that rules in us. And that's why the Bible was telling us that they that are led by their flesh, they that are led by their sinful nature, their mind that is controlled by sinful nature or by flesh is death. When we are in the flesh is when we focus on our abilities, when we focus on our righteousness, when we focus, oh, it's because I've fasted, oh, it's because I've done this that God should answer me, oh, it's because I'm sinful that things are not working. When we focus on our flesh, the mind controls by flesh is death. But the Bible tells us, but the mind that is controlled by the Spirit, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the mature sons of God, are the sons of God. When we constantly shift our gaze to the Spirit, to what God has done in us, to the righteousness that is given to us by faith in Christ Jesus, when we constantly shift our focus to our union with Christ, that we are joined with Him in one Spirit, that God's Spirit lives in us, the righteousness that He has given us, the glory that He has poured out on us, when we shift our focus, our consciousness that we are not of this world, our citizenship is not of this world, but is from above, then we will give God glory. We will continually be groaning for that. And as we are constantly gazing into that glory, the Bible tells us we are being transformed. We are being metamorphosed with an ever-increasing glory into the very image of God, into the very image of Christ. God's desire is that we are transformed into His image. So we're seeing that creation is groaning. We too as believers are groaning. Why? Because we were given this hope. And when you got born again, you're told, you know what? You're now a child of God. God is now, you can call Him your Father. And He has given you His Spirit. The same Spirit that was on Christ Jesus is given to us. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Verse 26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that words cannot be expressed, that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all our hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers or intercedes for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. For God knew His people in advance and He chose them to become like His Son so that His Son will be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Let me look, just read that in ESV. It says, "For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." What is God telling us? He's telling us, as a saved person, as someone who has come to Christ, you are his child. He has given you his spirit. Yes, you may go through suffering. Yet you may go through difficult moments. But even the world is going through this. But I'm telling you, there is a hope that you have. There is a hope that, you're going to be transformed into the very image of Christ. And he says, "And I've given you the Holy Spirit, who is a foretaste of the things to come." But what the Holy Spirit does is that he is there to help your infirmities. He's there to help your weaknesses. He's there to help, because when we think of our flesh, when we look at ourselves, we can see that we are weak. We can see our struggles. But God tells us that he has given us his spirit, who comes to help us in our weaknesses. If one of our weaknesses, we don't know what to pray. But you see, the Bible says the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that words cannot express. He who searches the mind of God, who searches the heart, who searches the hearts, knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us, intercedes for you. You know, we have two intercessors. One, we have Christ himself. The Bible says he lives forever to make intercession on behalf of us. He lives forever to intercede for us. That means Jesus is praying for us. Number two, also, we also see that the Spirit who is in us makes intercession for us in accordance with the will of God. And that's why we encourage people to pray in spirit, to pray in spirit, to pray in tongues. Why? Because when you're praying in the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that is praying through you. And as he prays through you, he prays for you in accordance with God's will. That means when you're praying in tongues, you might be saying, "God, I'm rebuking the accident that is coming my way," which you don't even know. There's an accident coming your way. But as you pray in tongues, God starts to now correct that accident that is coming. God starts to fix your future. God starts to fix your family. God starts to fix your children. Why? Because you're praying in accordance to the will of God. Indeed, it is the Holy Spirit who is now directing your prayers into the direction to pray. And that's why Paul says, "I pray in the Spirit and I also pray with my understanding." But you see, he starts, there's a thing of first things comes first. So I pray with my spirit, but I also pray with my mind. That means first, the first thing is to pray in the Spirit. You know, I sing with my spirit, then I also sing with my understanding. The first mention, the Spirit. And that's why he says, "I pray in tongues more than each and every one of you." Why? He discovered the secret. He discovered the secret in praying in tongues is that you're building up yourself in the most holy faith, that you're allowing God to pray for you in accordance with the will of God. And you see, as he prays for you in that way, then God causes everything to work together for good. As you're praying in accordance to God's will, God is ordering your life. He's ordering your family. He's ordering your marriage. He's ordering your children. He's ordering your career. He's shifting things that you would shift at this moment. He's shifting your order. He's shifting things that you have no idea why God is shifting. Why? Because God has seen ahead. The Bible says he makes everything to work together for good. All things, not just some things, all things, even that suffering, even the things that don't make sense, God, have the faith, have the assurance that God is causing all these things to work together for good. And the beauty of God is that he tells us, "You know what? Even before you came to me, I knew you." God foreknew you. He knew you. He chose you. He predestined you. He called you, and after he called you, he justified you. He made you righteous. And then after he made you righteous, he gave you his glory. Why did he do that? So that you are made in the image of his son. You see, God was after sons. And he said he has made his son Christ. And then he has made you brothers after the image of Christ. And not only after his image, we are made into his image. We are conformed into the very image. We will be in him and we are in him. This is the love of God. This is what salvation means for us. This is what God is saying, that you know what? I have dealt with sinful nature. Now I have made you my sons. I have made you my sons. And as sons, you have rights. As you're revealed as manifested children of sons of God, you heal creation around you. I give you the Spirit who helps you in your weakness that you've seen now. Your weakness of sin, your weakness of suffering, your weakness of the flesh, your weakness of the world system, your weakness of the devil, that the devil is still pushing and bombarding you. I've given you all that victory. And you see, why? Because glory. The end result is I'm going to glorify you. And I've given you the glory that I've given Christ is for you. That's why I keep asking, what will you believe? Do you believe God's word? And that's why Isaiah 53 asks, to whom will believe our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? This is the gospel. Who will believe that we have been given the very glory of God? We are his sons. He is our father. He loves us. He called us. He predestined us. He justified us. He made us right standing with him, and he glorified us. Who has believed it? Now, when our eyes are open and we constantly look at the Spirit, what the Spirit has done, and not what our flesh says, then we receive the glory of God and we receive the blessing of being sons of God, walking fully in our rights. And the Bible has told us he has given us the Holy Spirit as a testimony of that, as a foretaste of that. And tomorrow, by the grace of God, when we meet next, we shall be able to see the other blessing of God for the believers is God's love. God's love. And it says nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. So I'll stop there and welcome for any reflections as the Lord leads you. I'm in hell in you. Okay, let us pray then. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We glorify your holy name. We bless your name. We thank you for your loving kindness, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word that has come forth to us to remind us that we are sons of God. That you've given us your Spirit, the Spirit that calls, we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit prays with us and through us and intercedes on our behalf, that we will pray according to the will of God the Father, and that in all these things we shall experience victory around us. We shall experience the blessing of God. We shall experience power. We shall experience all things working together for our good. And I thank you that this blessing is just for those who believe in you and who simply believe in you. And I pray for my brother, my sister, who wants to put their faith in you this day, that Lord, as you asked of your forgiveness, as they ask for forgiveness, that Lord, you forgive them of their sins. And as they put their faith in you, that indeed this hope, this salvation that comes of this future hope of glory, that Lord, may you receive them, O God, for you died for their sins and you are raised up for their glory. And I thank you that this glory of Christ, that you are conforming us to it. And I thank you for everything around us that is not in conformity. I speak the will of God over it. I speak that indeed our lives shall be ordered, our thoughts shall be ordered, our families shall be ordered, our workplaces shall be ordered, our schools shall be ordered, and everything around us shall be ordered according to the promise and pattern of your will. Even as we go about our businesses and whatever that we need to do, go ahead of us, strengthen us, keep us, and sustain us. Thank you for the love and thank you for the blessings of salvation that you're teaching us in your word. Until we meet again, may your grace and presence be with us. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Indeed, have a blessed, blessed morning and day ahead. Bye. Mm-hmm.